what does perfect love really mean? I said it starts with this idea that perfect love is fearless. That if we genuinely trust the love somebody has for us, and especially God's love, nothing can stand against us. We do not have to fear that we will be judged or condemned, but we can rest safe and solid in the foundation of knowing that God's love for us remains steadfast in the midst of our faults and failures, and therefore we can be fearless. And that's why John writes, perfect love casts out fear. That there is no fear in perfect love. That is foundational because with everything else we talk about, there are going to be points in which we have to acknowledge that we fail. And sometimes in the midst of that conversation, it is frustrating, it is difficult. And in the midst of failure, what do we sometimes have? Fear. But if we trust our perfect love with each other, we cannot be afraid. We need to be fearless in the way we address and handle our love for one another. And so today I'm going to talk about honesty because that is everybody's favorite topic, amen? I asked the staff this week, I said, how many of you don't lie? So I'm going to ask you that. How many of you don't lie? All right, because I was about to tell somebody they just did, right? When I'm talking about honesty, we have to come to grips with the fact that honesty is not always comfortable, right? And because of that, there are times when we lie. Because if somebody serves me a dish, and I don't think it tastes really good, and they say to me, what did you think, how do you think that was, what am I going to say? Anyone ever just look at them and be like, that was horrible, I can't believe you fed that to me? I mean, that might be honest, right? And at some level, we sometimes protect others by not being fully honest because we have to recognize honesty is not always comfortable. Sometimes honesty is almost painfully uncomfortable. Amen? Sometimes we have to go to people and share with them a hurt that they've put into our lives. And has anyone ever done that and thought, wow, this is really fun to do? It's challenging. It's difficult. It is also vital because if I can't be honest with you, what type of relationship do we really have? Not a very good one, right? If I have to protect everything I say to you because I'm more worried about how you will respond, what it says is I don't trust your love enough for me to be honest. I don't trust that in the midst of this relationship I can share with you my truth because my fear is me being honest with you will do what? Stop that relationship. And so we have a whole lot of people that live with very superficial relationships. Amen? There are a world full of people that have very superficial relationships. We call it Facebook. Because those are things you can be comfortable to share with people. But honesty is not always comfortable. I remember at 19 years old, I was stuck in this position where my brother had called. He needed help. And I knew because of his addiction, my dad would not want me to go and help him. Major problem, guess whose car I needed to drive? Dad's car. And I didn't have my own. I'd asked Dad for permission to drive his car. So, of course, I said, Dad, I'm going to go help my brother. Anyone think I said that? I said, Dad, can I borrow the car to go see Cameron, my friend's house? Because he knew I go to Cameron's house a lot. And so I drove. I helped my brother pick up what he needed to pick up to fix his car. I come back home. My dad says, how's Cameron doing? I said, Cameron's doing great. And he said, that's interesting because guess who showed up at the house today? Cameron! I picked him because he lived far away from my house and I knew there's no way he would just come over without checking first. And so we were stuck in this really painful, awkward position where at 19 years old I had to say, you know what, Dad? I wanted to tell you I was going to help my brother, but I was afraid. I was afraid of how you would react. I was afraid I then wouldn't be able to help my brother. And my fear stopped me from being honest with you, and it's not who I want to be, and it's not the relationship I want to have with you, but it's the relationship I'm stuck with. It was absolutely the hardest conversation I've ever had with my dad. It's also the first time I've ever seen my dad cry. And at 19, we came to this realization we'd rather be honest and have that relationship than have a superficial relationship. It was not easy. And over the next 20 plus years, it has not been easy because we don't see eye to eye on everything. But what we want to do is to be able to say to each other, this is who I really am. And for me, it's been really cool because I've gotten to learn things about my dad I never would have expected. I began to see his struggles with who his dad was. I began to understand how difficult life was for my dad and for his dad, that, you know, quite frankly, my generation is spoiled, amen? That I have had indoor plumbing my whole life. People will say to me, wouldn't you want to live with Jesus? I'm like, no, they didn't have plumbing back then. I began to see, and I also had to go to my dad and say, you know what, Dad? I wasn't always the best son. I did not always honor you in a way that I wish I had honored you. I did not always respect you in a way that I wish I'd respected you. So the truth is, honesty is not always comfortable. But as we grow in our relationship with each other, it should be fundamental. And we should be willing to push each other and to be more honest with each other, because it's the greatest way for us to honor who God has made each one of us. And the truth is, we all have faults and failures, amen? And so I should be able to deal with your faults and failures in all honesty, as much as you should be able to deal with my faults and failures in all honesty, and that we can trust that God can heal and guide and direct our relationship. But there's some rules I think we need to follow. Honesty must be done gently and peaceably. Too often I hear people act like, well, I'm just going to be honest, and they excuse that for being jerks. You know the people, right? They're the people that walk right up and be like, well, you're dumb. And since that's honest, I should be able to say that. Scripture does not support that type of honesty. We are called to think of others more highly than we think of ourselves. That we are to address situations peaceably and gently. You can do that, right? And if you're not sure if you're going to do that, you know what the best piece of advice you could have is? Be quiet. Say nothing. Do not respond until you know you can respond in a way that is both peaceable and gentle. Years ago, I used to belong to an online forum that discussed religion and politics. Very exciting, right? There's this one guy who consistently made Christian remarks. I really liked him, but then he changed his avatar to a very non-flattering picture of a woman. And I thought, how do I address this? Because as a person of faith, this is not how I believe people of faith should represent themselves. So I sent him, I did not post on the public forum. I could have, right? I could have, in all honesty, posted on public forum, say, this is not how Christians should act. I no longer consider you Christian. Your faith is fraudulent, right? And I could have said, maybe I'm being honest with that, because that's how I felt. Instead, I sent him a private message. I said, you know, I really, really respect how much you have spoken about your faith and who you are. And I'm really struggling with that choice of picture that you are using. I struggle for this reason, and I think it is not honoring to who I believe you are. I got a response within 24 hours. He said, you know, had you told me to take that picture down, I would have said no. But thank you for your gentle rebuke. And he removed the picture, and we all moved on in life. Make sure that in your honesty, you're being gentle and peaceable, not jerky. In no way can we defend our honesty if we are not being gentle and peaceable with how we do it. We should always think of the other person and how you would want to be treated. That is, Philippians says, have the same mind in you that Christ Jesus had, who, even though he was equal to God, chose to empty himself out for the benefit of others. And then the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do to you. Do you want somebody just to walk up to you and say to you, hey, I think your beard is ugly? Gene, would you like that? No. We should think about, how would I want somebody to dress this if it was the shoe was on the other foot? How can I do this in a way that best honors the other person? What words can I speak? What actions can I use that are honest but also take into account where this other person is? And how can I do it in a way that uplifts the other person? Every Christian I know can quote the golden rule, amen? And yet, almost every Christian I know at some point will say a phrase like this to me. Well, I'll respect them as long as they respect me. And that is the opposite of the golden rule. Because the golden rule makes it very simple. You treat others the way you want to be treated, regardless of how they are treating you. Amen? We need to be honest with ourselves first. I love this phrase that Paul uses in Romans. He says, consider yourselves with sober judgment. Don't sit there and Jesus will say it this way, remove the plank in your eye before you look at the speck in a brother's. Don't overestimate your own goodness. Don't overestimate what God has done for you. Instead, be honest with yourself. Where are you? What are your struggles? It was extremely beneficial to my relationship with my dad for me to acknowledge to him, I haven't always been the best son either. Because if somebody comes to you and says, I haven't always been the best, it's easier for you to go to them and say, yeah, me neither, right? It's easier for you to say, I haven't made the greatest choices as a dad, when somebody else is coming and saying, yeah, I haven't been perfect either. Realize your own faults and failures. I find this simple. The more I deal with my faults and failures, the more tolerant I become of other people's faults and failures. Amen? This is why in John 8, the woman caught in adultery, when Jesus writes in the sand, the older people leave before the younger people, because older people, we recognize our own faults and failures. And I hate to tell you, I'm really worried how recognized I'll be at 90 years old, because I recognize it an awful lot at 44, and I have a lot more time to mess up. Amen? I hope I have a lot more time to mess up. Honesty should help us to improve other people's relationship with God. Did you catch what James said there? He said, if you catch somebody in wrong, the goal isn't to correct them so you can feel better than them, right? The goal isn't to be honest with them so you can feel superior. The goal is to correct them in order to draw them into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. That should be the only goal. My goal should not be to beat you up, to belittle you, or to make you feel bad about your fault or failure. My goal should be, I want to be honest with you in order to uplift and encourage you, in order to empower your relationship with God. And if my goal is anything less than that, I should keep my mouth quiet. Amen? Until my heart is prepared to say, I'm going to share this with that person because I want to restore their relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the biggest reason why we need to be honest with each other. I think when it's all said and done, honesty builds a trust we need to faithfully proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. The biggest reason why people struggle with the church and with Christians is because when they look at us, they see hypocrites. People who are willing to deal with everybody else's faults and failures except their own. And this goes back to what Jesus says about the wise and the foolish builder. It is easy for me to say one thing, to know the right thing to do, but then to do the opposite. And in Jesus' sermon, he in essence says, if you know the right thing but don't do it, who are you in the story? You're the foolish builder. The knowing what to do is not important. Knowing that you are called to be honest and peaceable and gentle is not what's important. What is? Being honest and peaceable and gentle. And so when the world sees the church in the name of honesty, belittling and beating up and attacking, what does it really expose about who we are? Now this is the honesty the church struggles to hear, right? Because we want the idea that all we need to do is say, oh Jesus, I love you, and I can go out and do whatever I want, and I'm okay because I'm saved by grace. And yet Christ says, your behaviors expose your beliefs. You will know them by their fruit. Not by their words, by their fruit. What are my actions? What are my behaviors? How do I respond? Am I peaceable? Am I loving? Am I kind? Am I gentle? Honesty, if we were willing to have that honest dialogue with the world, to say, we struggle too. I'm not perfect. I'm being perfected by God's love and presence in my life. Being willing to say to the world, I struggle too. Life is not easy or simple for me. Wouldn't it change how they view the church? Wouldn't it change how they view Jesus Christ? Because too often what the world hears is this. Get yourself cleaned up, look the right way with the right behaviors, and then you are welcomed into our presence. Amen? And what they should hear is what? God loves you wherever you are. Come to Him, and He will clean you up. Very different messages. Amen? One is honest. An honest message is, come to Christ, trust Him to clean you up. The dishonest message is, get yourself right first. I'm grateful that 25 years ago, people were willing to say to me, in the midst of some pretty big faults and failures, come to Christ. They loved me, they cared about me, and they waited until our relationship was growing to say things as simple as, hey Rob, do you think it's honoring of God that you make these choices on Friday nights? I'll just pray for you. And I want you to see where God is leading you. Do you think that made it easier for me to accept my own faults and failures? To accept God's presence to change me in my life? Or do you think it would have been better if they said, Rob, if you don't change your choices on Friday nights, I'm not going to be your friend anymore. Both of them are honest, right? One of them sought what is best for me. The other seeks brutal honesty. As Christians, I don't think we're called for brutal honesty. We're called for honesty that is gentle, that is peaceable, and that restores people to life. No matter where you've been in your life, no matter how much you have struggled with your own honesty and integrity before God, the gospel message we have this morning remains true and steadfast. That God loves you, that in His perfect love you cannot fear, that in all truth, you need to come to Him and to share that message with other people. We can all, with integrity of our hearts, come to God and say, I still need you. I still need to grow. I still need your presence, your love, and your grace. And I need to be led better on how to share that with the world around me. As we close in prayer and song this morning, let's lay our hearts bare before God, trusting in our own honesty, His love remains steadfast. Would you pray with me?